Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Fiction. Science fiction. Horror. Fantasy. Crime. LGBT. Thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCB. 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and
1050
AM Palm Springs.
Well, welcome back into the House of Mystery. I'm your host today, Al Warren. My co-host today is Dr. Joe Yusinski. How are you doing, Joe?
Very good. How are you?
Well, you know, another day. Throat's getting a little bit rough here. It's sounding a little bit butch. I think all the smoke's getting to me, but Part of life.
Well, I think that will tie in perfectly with today's topic. So I would like to invite you right now to come down to Florida, where the air is of very good quality, and I think the humidity would do very well for you.
Well, there we go. I'll hop on a plane now.
The beaches will welcome you.
Yeah. Well, you know, it depends on what part of Florida, you know. So now that hurricane, is that coming? That's north of you. So what's the deal on that? They keep making it sound like it's going to be real devastating.
So it sounds like it, and a lot of people are evacuating, but not Florida. They're looking at North Carolina, where it's going to hit. So it's a little bit further north than where we are, and that's good because we're still reeling from Irma last year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that's how it goes. You know, wish them the best. The now is this the Russians causing this?
So that's a very good question, because I think right now there are very few things that we don't blame the Russians for. So weather control seems perfectly fine. And if you go back to the Cold War, there were actually a lot of conspiracy theories saying that either the Soviet government can control the weather or our government can control the weather. But there is a lot of belief in weather control. Yeah, but if you ever watch the daily news and they tell you, you know, what the weather's going to be tomorrow, it should become, you know, very, very clear, very fast that it's uncontrollable, and nobody knows what's going to happen.
Well, yeah. Oh, you know, that was a big thing. I know we've interviewed a lot of people from the 60s saying that that was kind of a government project, was to learn how to control the weather, and they thought if they could control the weather, they would control their enemies.
Sure, and there's little doubt that governments have been looking to do this forever. Right. People have always wanted to control the weather. I mean, think about rain dances or praying to certain gods for rain or sun. So humans have always had a desire to do this. And I don't doubt that during the 40s, 50s, and 60s, during the height of the Cold War, that the U.S. government was very intent on figuring out how to do this. I mean, if you could send a drought to a country and cripple their farming, I mean, what better way to win a war, right?
Yeah. Or to California.
Yeah. And if you, and this was particularly popular, as you say, in the 1960s, if you go back and watch the Woodstock documentary, that shows the concerts, and it has interview with the moviegoers. Once it starts raining, you have all the young people saying, Nixon did this. He was seeding the clouds to make it rain on us.
Wow. Oh, Nixon did more than we knew.
Yeah.
Wow, he was just...
Well, the truth is, you can't put it past him, but...
Yeah.
At the same token, he was actually up to doing much worse things than just making it rain, so...
Yeah, he was into real stuff, making some money.
Yeah. And violating the Constitution in horrible ways.
Yeah. I mean, let's do something really good. That's crazy. As of late, I hear a lot about people talk about Monsanto's, and that they believe that they are controlling the weather. And we had Michael... I forget his name. He's from the Chemtrail Sprayers Association. I forget their name, but, you know, he's the head of it. So he said to me on the show that they've been spraying things to control the weather. What they spray actually gives Monsanto's the ability to control the weather and our crops and therefore our people.
Really?
Yes, exactly. He gave me an hour of that. And
well, it's actually not such a fringe belief. And I actually thought that maybe only, 5 to 10% of people really believed in this chemtrail thing. But there's been new polling done. And if you ask the question so that people can either say it's definitely true or probably true, you wind up with almost 40% saying either definitely or probably true. So while it's a small minority who are sort of organizing their lives around this belief and are convinced that the lines in the sky really are chemicals put there to hurt us,
yeah.
There's a lot of other people who conceivably would say, you know, that could be happening.
I wonder why that is. Because when I say that could be, well, you know, anything could be.
If you don't know what it really is, then you would say, okay, it could be, and if you ask the questions, do you think the government is doing this? Then anyone who doesn't like the government for some other reason will say, sure,
yeah,
you know, that could be true. And not so much because they're responding to the idea that they're putting stuff in the trails behind planes, but just because you're responding to the government and want to express your dislike of them.
Well, yeah, like if I have to wait in line at the DMV. And someone asked me when I'm waiting in the line.
They're definitely poisoning us.
Yeah, they're behind it all. They're the reason I'm waiting. Yeah, no, I don't know. I get accused of working for the government because I always keep saying this, that how about some evidence?
Well, I get accused of working for Satan, so I guess you have one up on me.
Well, I don't know. Aren't they one and the same?
Maybe they are the same.
I thought Hillary was Lucifer. So, I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to keep up.
Well, regardless, this idea of weather control is actually a really good topic. And because we get all those hurricanes, particularly in Florida, but in other places too, we wanted to know what people in hurricane-prone areas thought about this. So we did a survey of 2,000 Floridians, and we asked them if they thought that big weather events like Hurricane Irma and other hurricanes are controlled by the government. And before I give you the result of the survey that we did last month, let me just tell you, when I was buying my batteries and bottled water and whatnot at Target, I was in line, and as I was checking out, the cashier said to me, you know, I think Trump controls this. He's behind this hurricane. And it didn't really bother me that much that she was saying this, because I'm like, oh, a cashier, a Target, she can think whatever she wants. The woman behind me chimed in with her two cents, and she said, yeah, I'm convinced that the government's controlling this too, and this is a Trump thing. He's sending this hurricane to get us. And I said, well, what do you do for a living? And she said, I'm a school teacher. And that's where I became a little bit more concerned.
Well, there you go. It's, Trump could hardly spell the word hurricane.
Yeah, well, here's the interesting thing is normally you send hurricanes, I would think, to the states that didn't vote for you, not to the ones that did.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Unless he just wants to, knock over Mar-a-Lago and collect the insurance money on it. That I wouldn't put past him.
Yeah, well, of course. Yeah, it doesn't make sense because you have to look at what's the long term. What do you get out of it? Like at the end of the hurricane and all these homes are destroyed, what's the positive for Trump himself?
Nothing. And there are, you often find this faulty economic reasoning like, oh, think of all the jobs that will be created when we have to rebuild everything. But it's actually, that's really a bad way to think because, if that was true, then we'd just go around smashing everything and just keep building it. But we would never do that because we know that, blowing stuff up, knocking buildings over, it's just not economically productive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, they don't spend money on the infrastructure as it is.
Spending more isn't going to help anyone.
Yeah, no, and they're slow at repairing, and I don't know. I don't believe that. But it's funny that you should say that, how people in the lineup are actually accusing Trump now, and they voted him in to get rid of the government that was always doing things to control people, like, they take their guns away, and all the stuff that they've said before. Now it's actually falling on Trump.
Yeah.
That's actually surprising because he was kind of the alternative, and now 2 years in, not so much anymore.
Well, he's the establishment now.
Yeah, I guess it did. I guess it just, the years fly by and you don't think about it. It's been 2 years, and maybe for a lot of people, he's become the man. I don't know.
Well, that's why his rhetoric really focuses on the idea that he's an outsider, he's being victimized, he's being attacked by these powerful forces like the deep state and, Robert Mueller and the Democrats. And so he puts out this air that he and we, are constantly under threat. And that's designed to keep him, with this outsider status, even though he is the biggest insider there is.
Yeah. And it really confuses me when he calls it a Democrat witch hunt. because so many of them, like Mueller and all those, they're all lifelong Republicans.
Yeah, and there's an interesting dynamic here. This isn't about Republicans and Democrats.
Exactly.
And this is actually a point. I had Roger Stone come to campus a couple days ago. And, I didn't believe most of the things that Roger said, but there was one thing he said that I absolutely agree with. And he said, this isn't about Republicans and Democrats. It's about insiders and outsiders. And, if we simplify everything down to left versus right, we're going to miss this other dynamic of, insiders controlling things and trying to keep outsiders out. And I think that very much played a role in the 2016 election, where all the insiders, the newspapers, everything were all against Trump right off the bat. And I think honestly, Trump could have changed a lot of what he was saying, and he still would have had the same result because the insiders were not going to support an outsider.
Yeah. Yeah. Roger Stone, was that where he did the little Nixon peace signs? At your campus? I saw that online on the paper. He was doing some speech somewhere.
Yeah, we had him in the class last week, so.
I'm sorry. Actually, I get along well with Roger. Roger, I've had a few times, and we get along quite well. I don't agree with 90% of what he says, but we always get along.
Yeah.
You know. And Kevin, the co-host there, he's always wagging his tail. And
I'm sure.
He's totally excited. You know, he's an InfoWars guy, so.
Yeah. Well, he appears on InfoWars a lot, and he shares that same overall mentality.
Yeah.
And it's always, I guess it used to be shocking to me, but it's not anymore. I mean, a lot of political consultants and campaign workers and lobbyists are hardcore conspiracy theorists. You know, and it's just part of the job, I think, in that if your job is designed around doing dirty tricks and manipulating people and, you know, doing all that sort of insider stuff, you're going to believe in a lot of these things. So, I mean, Roger was talking about Kennedy assassination conspiracy theories and 9/11 conspiracy theories, and you name it. I mean, he believed it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's right on all those.
So I'm going to have to go debrief the class at some point.
Remember, that was just for entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now if the government's controlling our weather, and there's also a big talk about how they control the mass shootings.
Yeah.
And that's another thing Roger Stone is in on because of the InfoWars thing, you know, of course, saying that they're all faked.
Yeah. So Roger said, you know, I don't agree with everything that Alex Jones says. And I don't know how anyone possibly could agree with everything he said because they've got all sorts of weird things going on InfoWars.
Yeah.
But he said, I agree with some of the things he says, you know, and what he likened it to was, you know, I go on CNN and I don't agree with most of CNN. So,
yeah.
But anyway, let me give you some numbers here.
Okay. And, yeah. Right.
So do you believe the catastrophic weather events like hurricanes are controlled by the government? In a representative survey of Floridians, 68% disagreed. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But 18% weren't sure if the government controlled this or not, which is sort of a shockingly high number. Like how, you know, you either think they do or they don't. I don't know why you're hedging. And then 14% agreed and said they do believe that the government controls hurricanes. So it's out of every 100 people you meet, about 15 of them think that hurricanes are controlled by Trump or some other government official.
Wow. So you have to be careful. Because that's a right to carry guns, isn't it?
Don't piss off the government because they're going to come and hit you with a hurricane.
That's right. They'll put a hurricane right over your house. And that's it. Man, they get your address. They just punch it into their little...
Boom.
Yeah, and boom, you're done.
So the government must hate Oklahoma because they're hitting them with tornadoes all the time. And if you go look at opinions after Katrina in New Orleans, there was a lot of people who believed that the government blew the levees purposely to flood the city.
What? Okay. And
so and that belief persists there to this day. You have a lot of people who still think that.
And what was the point of that?
Well, a lot of it had to do with racial disparity. So people thought that the government wanted to get black people. So they were going to blow up the levees to punish African Americans in the city. And you can poll, there are polls that are still being done of that that show that those beliefs are still fairly widespread there. So.
Wow. Okay.
But you did mention mass shootings. So if we move on to mass shootings, I'll give you the numbers on that. And they're actually very similar. So for mass shootings, you've got 69% disagree with it. 17% aren't sure. And then 15% agree that mass shootings, like the Parkland and Orlando shootings, are hoaxes designed to take away our guns.
Wow. Yeah, but you know, after so many now, and they still haven't taken away the guns, where does it end?
It is funny. I mean, if you think about it, because people are saying this since Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
This is just a trick to get our guns, and they never get the guns.
Yeah.
So they're the worst conspirators on the planet.
Yeah, because years are going by and nothing's changing. Like, they're not...
Yeah, we keep blowing people away for no reason.
Yeah, well, remember, they're not really. They're just actors.
But I find that this, like how bad the conspiracies work, doesn't stop the conspiracy theorists from believing it. So one that I run into all the time is this belief that the CIA created the term conspiracy theory to stop people from believing in JFK conspiracy theories. And the first thing I say to them, well, that's just not true, because the term conspiracy theory goes back long before that. You can just search in the online archives of newspapers and whatnot and find it, going back at least to the 1870s.
Right.
And it's attached to the concept of conspiracy theory. Right, so the term is being used even 150 years ago the way that we use it now. So the CIA did not create it. They did not take a term and add meaning to it. And they didn't even take the term and add a negative connotation to it, because that's already been there for a long time. But even more so, if it was the CIA's intent to, you know, to do that, to stop people from believing in JFK conspiracy theories, it did not work at all, because that's probably the most popular conspiracy theory there is. So that by the late 90s, you had 80% of the country believing in JFK conspiracy theories. So if they believe that that's true, conspiracy theorists should actually be happy that the CIA, the worst conspirator out there, is actually the most ineffective conspirator, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, too, why is it that you could physically show someone articles or something from way before the CIA using the term conspiracy theory, but they won't allow that into their I don't know, repertoire of evidence? You know, they don't accept it.
So one thing we find with conspiracy theorists, and other people have this too, and I think we all do it to some extent.
Right.
Is that nobody wants to be proved wrong. So when you get evidence that contradicts your beliefs, you move the goalposts. And it happens, you know, normal people do this, but even the smartest people do this. And it's just one of those things that you see with conspiracy theories. You know, I'll give you one example, is the Obama birth certificate thing. So, you know, you had these people saying Obama was born in some other country, so he's really a foreign usurper who's trying to take power, and he's a Manchurian candidate. And the first claim was he doesn't have a birth certificate. So then they released the short-form birth certificate. And they said, well, that doesn't count. Where's the long-form birth certificate? So then they released the long-form birth certificate. And they said, well, that doesn't count because that's been forged. So there's no evidence that you can give people that's going to convince them of something they don't want to believe. So, I mean, most of what we find is that it's not the evidence driving the beliefs. It's just people pick and choose evidence to support beliefs they already have.
Well, that's well, okay. I agree, but I just think that it doesn't make sense. If you find some evidence that proves something wrong or different, a different outcome, then you've got to take that in and move on and kind of find your way. This is that, you know, just but hey, what do I know?
But it happens in a whole lot of other areas besides conspiracy theory too. So I wound up in a sort of a back and forth with Paul Krugman, a Nobel Prize winner, a couple years ago. And we put out my survey data that said, you know, people on the left and the right believe in conspiracy theories about equally, and they have, you know, conspiracy worldviews about equally. And he couldn't, fathom this, because it went against his very liberal worldview. So he said, well, I wasn't talking about the mass public. I was just talking about important people.
Oh.
You know, so now you change the claim so that you can keep, you know, what you want to believe intact. I had to deal with this with a journalist writing for Salon a couple weeks ago, too, who took issue with the same thing. And he just couldn't bear to deal with the fact that left and right are equally prone to conspiracy theorizing. And he said, you know, all your data shows all this stuff, but you're not looking at the right thing. You have to look at something else.
Yeah.
Couldn't say what that is, but it's just the point where you don't get the result you want, so the test must be rigged, or the test is the wrong test. So,
yeah. Yeah, I always say if you want to make sure of something, go directly to the National Enquirer and see if it's there. Then you know it's true.
So why don't we go back in Florida history, and I'll recount a few of these. So these are very Florida-specific conspiracy theories asked only to Floridians. So why don't we go back 18 years to the 2000 election, and that was a big deal in Florida. And a lot of people thought that the race was rigged in favor of George W. Bush because his brother Jeb Bush happened to be governor at the time. So when we asked people, do you think the 2000 recount in favor of George W. Bush was rigged? We had 30% saying yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I would see that. There seems to be a real call for that kind of thought right now. I'm not sure if it's because of the last election or what, but I hear that a lot more even through the media.
It happens quite a bit, and that's actually a pretty straightforward number, is that you've got...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Particularly Democrats, when they lose an election to a Republican, they'll say, you know, it was rigged. And vice versa happens too. When the Republicans lose, then an equal number say it was rigged against us. So if you win, then of course it wasn't rigged. You got the right outcome. But if you lose, you were cheated.
Yeah. Only with Trump, he was still rigged.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Trump didn't say that the Electoral College was rigged, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that he won that. So to him, that was hunky-dory. And he was tweeting those numbers out the other day, saying, look at the Electoral College result. But for the popular vote, which he lost, he said that was rigged. 3 million illegals sullied the vote.
And there you have it. And so and now we know. Yeah.
So I'll go back a few years before that to the 1963 assassination of President Kennedy. So nationwide, right now, we get about 60% of the country thinks that there was a conspiracy or cover-up in the assassination. But we wanted to be a little more specific with Floridians and ask something that was something that Floridians would care about. So we said, do you think that Fidel Castro played a role in the assassination of Kennedy? And we actually got 25% that agreed and said yes, that he did. 43% weren't sure, and 33% said no.
Oh.
So actually, I mean, the interesting number there, see, if you put the agree and not sure together, you wind up with about 70%, which is 70% of people who don't, you know, presumably agree with the Warren Commission's finding that it was a single shooter.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, but I wonder why that is. Is that just because of what they hear in the media or stories or books, I guess?
Well, if you were in Florida, I mean, particularly when Trump started releasing documents about the assassination about a year ago, there was a lot of reporting about Castro, because that's sort of a big hook down here, right? Like, did Castro have something to do with it? Because that's something that a lot of Floridians care about because of the relationship with the island that we have.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of Cubans there.
Yeah. So, moving right along, so we have that, and then did the government play a large role in perpetuating the cocaine market? And that is probably true.
Yeah.
And there was actually pretty good evidence that the CIA was involved in some nefarious dealings with cocaine cartels. And there was actually reporting back in, you know, some decades ago that said, yeah, there's pretty good evidence that this happened. So, but we had about a third agreeing that was the case, a third disagreeing, and a third not sure. So about even numbers. But the cocaine market was very big in Florida. And my wife tells me, she was living here during the 80s and 90s, said, you know, a lot of people were just getting really big houses for no reason. And you knew what they were up to.
Yeah, well, they work at the supermarket. And they,
yeah.
And they got a promotion. I'm the meat manager.
Yeah. So, if we then ask, and so speaking of foreign countries and Cubans, if we ask Floridians about immigration, so we gave them the statement, the government is hiding the true cost of immigration to taxpayers and society. So we wound up with 40% of Floridians agreeing that the government is hiding the true cost of immigration, and only 24% disagreeing. So those are, to me, those are sort of unfortunate numbers. I mean, it speaks about a suspicion of government, which I don't necessarily blame them for when you have politicians who are lying all the time about all sorts of things.
Yeah.
But normally when you get government reports about what's the cost of immigration and whatnot, those aren't, you know, doctored numbers. But these people seem to be suspicious of immigration and its impact on us.
Yeah, you know, but when you get to numbers, you know, when you get the immigration numbers, they're going to think that it's doctored in the sense of who's in government, because when you have Trump and anti-immigrant sort of outlook, they're going to believe that they're using anything they can against immigrants. you know, to turn people. Because, you know, one thing I look at is before the election, all of the numbers on jobs and unemployment and all that stuff, they were always being accused of being doctored, like they're fake. You know, it's not really 7% unemployment, it's closer to 50, and the numbers are fake. And, you know, you had the whole right side kind of preaching that. And now,
and it's really funny too, because the numbers were fake up until Trump could take responsibility for them, and then they were real.
Then they're real. So how that makes no sense, because what makes them real now? So,
but both sides do this, right? You had Trump doing this thing, oh, these were fake, but now they're real, and the Democrats during the Obama administration, oh, these numbers are real, and you know, look how good Obama's doing, and now that it's attributed to Trump, they say, well, it really means that people are working two jobs, or some other thing that isn't true, right?
Yeah.
So nobody wants to give credit to the other side, and nobody wants to take credit for bad things themselves.
So. Yeah, but I think I'm coming to the point that, you know, when you have both sides of your government talking about the same numbers and calling them different things, complete opposites, then what would prevent them from doing it with the immigration money as well? Like if you believe the government is just, you know, telling you what you want to hear, or they're anti this and they do this and that, they're manipulating their numbers to prove their point, whoever government's in, and both governments are doing it, then what's to say that they aren't fake, you know?
Then let's say that was your disposition. Say, I'm not going to listen to the government.
Right.
There are other people. There are people other than the government you can go to who have expertise on this. Right. I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds of sociologists and economists and political scientists who study this. And generally, the consensus among academics is that immigration is a net positive.
Yeah.
And particularly with the economists. It's a positive.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know?
And the problem is that even when you have some sort of negative number, you know, immigrants committed this crime, or they take these jobs, or this or that, they always forget the other things that immigrants do, and that is that even if immigrants get some amount of social services, or the kids go to the public schools, you know, you're not accounting for all the production that these people provide to the country.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? They all vote for Democrats. Oh, it's terrible. Terrible. The thing is, most of your, most of the people out, you know, Joe Citizen, they call it, or whatever, they're not going to look beyond what they hear on the news.
That's right, and there are some people who actually are going to pay a cost for immigration, right? So if you are in certain jobs that immigrants would take potentially, then you know you're going to be competing and potentially for a lower wage. So some people are going to be hurt.
Yeah.
And what society should do is make sure that we, you know, create a pillow for these people so that. There's something for them to lean on so that they have some support when their jobs are injured or they lose their job or something like that. Same thing with trade. We should be able to take care of people so when they face competition from trade, they don't get totally screwed. But even with that said, I mean, the message from economists on trade is that it's good. You know, there are a lot of countries in decline, you know, and you look at things that cause it. It's when they don't engage in trade and they don't allow immigration and their populations can't support themselves.
Right, yeah. No, I know. I think it's a good thing, but that's what we have.
Yeah. So from the serious to the zany, because this is Florida, we do have Disney World, and I think that's half of our economy. So we asked Floridians, after his death, was Walt Disney's body frozen and kept underneath Disney World? So this is something I always thought was true. So the first time I went to Epcot, I was always looking in like the bodies of water there to see if I could see like a cryogenic tank with a body in it. I never found it. But I do think that, you know, they put out a movie called Frozen. So I think that maybe that's some sort of clue that Walt Disney is actually frozen. But anyway, Floridians, 42% disagreed, but 17% did agree that Disney is frozen underneath the theme park.
Well, and I thought someone had his brain somewhere, too.
Yeah, so that would be part of the... Some people think the whole body is frozen. Some people think the brain is frozen. The family denies this, and they say it's not true. It is true that there was conversations had prior to his death about potentially doing this. But what the family said is he didn't go through with it.
And how do you think Mr. Disney would fare now with the Me Too generation and all the stuff going on, considering he was a Nazi supporter?
Well, you know, as a company...
Yeah,
I mean, Disney is constantly having to deal with politics. And you think that politics would be the furthest thing from this, right?
Right.
But they have to deal with, you know, attacks about the wages that they pay. I know Bernie Sanders did a big rally outside of Disneyland 2 years ago. You have a lot of the people, particularly at Disney World, a lot of the people that visit it come from very Republican evangelical states like Georgia, South Carolina, Mississippi, Alabama. And at the same time, they have a lot of their workers are gay, and you have a big gay constituency. So there are days where Disney World would cater to the Christian audience and they would have Night of Joy, and then other days where they would have, you know, gay celebration, gay pride days. So they're trying to appeal to all of these different audiences. They have to thread a needle, and it's not easy to do.
No, that's why I don't know. I just wonder how a lot of people from old times would do in modern times with their old time beliefs.
Well, SNL did a skit on this like 25 years ago where they. They said, you know, the founding fathers of America have flown into the future to help us solve our problems, and they've put together a plan to get rid of the deficit and solve the budget crisis and get people back to work. And they send these founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin and George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and they put them out to a press conference and say, we've solved all the problems. Here we are, the greatest minds in political history, and we've got exactly what you need. And the first question is, you know, what about you holding slaves?
Yeah.
And they can't solve the problems because we're stuck on all these terrible, terrible things that they did, you know, 300 years ago.
Yeah.
So, and this is, you know, this is still a pertinent question because as they, you know, you have places in the South that honor the Confederate war soldiers and generals and Confederate leaders. And then how does that translate into present day?
Yeah.
You know, are we getting rid of history, or are we taking down things that are, you know, clearly tied very closely to racism? And these are debates that play out over time. So.
Yeah. You just don't know. And so what else do our friends in Florida think?
Well, that's everything we asked. But the good news is, since you brought up hurricanes and we talked about hurricane beliefs, what we found, we also asked about hurricane preparedness. And the good thing is that people did prepare very well in terms of getting batteries and water and whatnot. And that's something I think about hurricanes in our science, is that we can predict these things, you know, weeks in advance. And particularly with Irma, which was very slow moving. Everyone was able to get everything they need, and the people who stuck it out and stayed home, they were actually very prepared to do so, and that was a very good thing.
Yeah, but why should we believe science in some cases and not others? Like, why do we need to believe them that this is really going to happen, the hurricane's really going to hit? Like, you know.
Well, that's the thing. Is that we can't know everything on our own, right? Is that there are only so many things we can experience directly that we have to take other people's word for it, and we should take people who are experts in that particular thing, right? So when I want to know the weather tomorrow, I don't talk to a psychic; I talk to a weather person.
Well, yeah, but why? You know, like if the world is...
Because the weather person, as many mistakes as they make, they have a better track record than the psychic.
Yeah,
or
but
the horoscope.
My neighbor told me that the world is flat and not round. So, but yet they'll tell you when the eclipse is happening and they got the glasses out and they're waiting for it. So why is it that we accept certain things from science and not others?
It's because we pick and choose what we want based on what we want to believe. Because we tend to start with the conclusion and then work backward to the evidence.
Oh, right? That's not a good way to progress.
Yeah, no, it's a terrible, terrible way. But that's how a lot of people do things. Because we have to come up with knowledge on the fly. And it's not like we're carrying all this around in our brains day to day. I mean, how often do we really think about the curvature of the earth, right?
Yeah.
But if you're somebody who's big into biblical interpretation, you say, well, I guess I'll just go with the Bible on this, and that it's flat, and then I'll come up with evidence after the fact to show that it's flat.
Yeah. But,
I mean, we see this with a good example of this is 9/11 truthers.
Right.
So they said the government's lying about everything and they're involved in a big plot against us. Then half the evidence they provide is government evidence.
Well, yeah, and I'm not sure it's really, I don't know. I don't. It doesn't sound like it's very logical, most of it. So I don't know. I'm not a scientist. But, when I want to lose weight, I go to someone that knows how to lose weight. So I buy Oprah. Oprah's book.
Well, I heard there's this thing where there's little metal balls, and if you tape them to the back of your ear, it helps you lose weight.
Yeah, exactly. But they have to be blessed. Blessed with some saint. We got to make one up. But once they're blessed, and it only costs you $20 a blessing. You will lose weight.
Mm.
No, I just don't know. It's just people don't think. But that makes Oprah a genius because she can sell things that she's not successful at.
Yeah, and we have to be very careful because we wind up with a lot of people on TV who, make wild claims that aren't necessarily, don't have any evidence to back them up. Right? I mean, you had Jenny McCarthy on The View for a year and a half talking about vaccines with things that aren't, really grounded. I think it was Whoopi Goldberg on The View, and she doubted the moon landing. You had Rosie O'Donnell, who said jet fuel doesn't melt steel. So you can go onto daytime programming. You're going to find a lot of claims that are dubious.
Yeah. Well, there's no regulation on it, so anybody can
say that. Nor should there be. So I'm happy to have these people get their say, and I'm happy to criticize them when they say things that aren't backed up by evidence. So,
yeah.
So that's fine.
Well, it's been another eventful week. Anything exciting as in recent conspiracies this week?
Well, Q is still going on, and I'm still getting a lot of tweets from Q people, but I haven't seen any big drops by Q that say anything's going to happen. I guess we're waiting for the shoe to drop on the rest of the satanic cult who eat babies, and I'm waiting for them to be arrested, but it hasn't happened yet. So
yeah, me too.
If Q is out there, make this happen.
Yeah. Yeah, get this going.
And I guess the other big thing has to do with Alex Jones. Is he was banned from a few social media platforms, and now Twitter's let him go too. So,
yeah, I think that's kind of how it's going to go. I think he's.
But that's a really big deal, and I really have to wonder how they're going to decide who can stay and who they're going to kick off. Because, I mean, part of the idea of this social media is to democratize media so you don't have these establishment gatekeepers deciding, you know, what the approved establishment knowledge is. By democratizing it and letting everybody share, you would have a bigger range of ideas. But now they're going against that. And we're going to knock this out and knock that out. So they've taken on the role of deciding who can be part of the conversation and who can't. And that's very authoritarian.
Yeah, but, you know, you have to wonder, but if you sign a deal with a platform like that, isn't that so? Don't you sort of have to follow their rules then?
You do, and they have every right, but they then shouldn't be able to say, we're a democratized platform that allows all sorts of different points of view. They should say, hey, we're Twitter. We allow certain points of view, but not this, or this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because I know that in our station or our YouTube channel, most of the shows that we do here are crime and mystery and stuff, and most of those... with YouTube, you know, you can't make any money on.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you... There's a lot of crazy stuff on Twitter. And one way you could solve some of it is to make sure that everyone's identified. So get rid of the anonymity. Right? So once you're attaching, you know, names of people or organizations or whatnot to every account, in verifying that they're real people or organizations, then you're going to, you know, that would in itself clamp down on a lot of the gibberish that's out there. And I'm actually okay with that because, you know, I think if you have things you want to say but want to do it anonymously, I mean, you know, I think you have less of a right to that.
Yeah, kind of...
I mean, I can understand. Yeah, I can understand where anonymity would be good in sharing certain, you know, unpopular opinions. Okay, but I mean, to me, that would be very fair, and it would be across the board to say, you know, we're only going to allow real people and real organizations to have accounts.
Yeah,
I'd be like, all right, and that way, if somebody says something crazy or hateful or off the wall. Then we can hold them accountable for it directly.
Yeah. Well, there we have it. You know, I'll remember that next time I'm tweeting.
Under your assumed name?
Under my assumed name.
Are you the new Carlos Danger?
that's me, Carlos Danger. And I'm tweeting great pictures. But only for of age people.
good.
Yeah, none of this underage stuff. That's going to be scary, going to jail in November for him.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. I wouldn't want to be him.
No.
No. No, 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 no. But, you know, that's how it goes. You know? You know, it's funny, or not funny, but it's just amazing, you know? Married and becoming mayor and... on top of the world to jail and registered sex offender.
Yeah. So
it's like Les Moon.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, Joe, it's always exciting. It's always good to talk to you and put some rational, logical viewpoints on conspiracy and the news and the world.
Well, thank you. Always great to be with you.
Yeah, because, you know, we'd fall apart. Well, and we'll be back again next Wednesday. Thanks for being here.
To find out more about our show, guests, or listen to a previous show, visit our website at www.somethingweirdmedia.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.